Queens of Adventure is made possible through the support of listeners like you who support the show on Kickstarter and Patreon. Thanks to Season 1 sponsor, Russell Bloomdale. Previously on Queens of Adventure, you see a vision of colossal underwater beast, unfathomably huge. You see the ziggurat on the central island. You see the moon spinning through a cycle and then landing on its fullest phase. Then tentacles slithering up onto land from the dark sea. You see magma bursting from the earth, an enormous creature emerging onto land, crushing and killing everything in its path. An idea wordlessly forms in your mind. By the next full moon, bring me the power that lies in the ziggurat, or else the island will be destroyed. Just off the coast of Fire Island, a gleaming glomerbird sails through the sky. It banks sharply, keeping a close eye on dark clouds building over the sea. A storm has surrounded the island on all sides. The bird folds its wings and sails downward toward a beach littered with smoldering wreckage. The people below are celebrating a victory. But then they grow still and stare out over the ocean. The glomerbird wheels around in the sky and sees the waves on the beach grow still, then peel away from the shore, breaking in reverse. The bird flaps higher into the air and screeches at the sight of a mountain of water rising out of the ocean several miles to the west. Lightning crackles out over the sea, and the bird looks back down to the beach to see everyone clutching their heads in pain. It soars back down towards the people, seeing expressions of fear on their faces, and perches on the mast of the playground pirate ship. After a moment, the waves settle back down. The people on the beach release their heads, looking around at each other in shock. And then they break out into panic. An archer collapses to the sand, wailing, "We're doomed!" A group near the wrecked cabana start fighting over weapons. A dwarf careens down the palace steps towards Belfry, shrieking, "You've got to do something!" before running off down the beach. Belfry looks at the party, an eyebrow raised. "Thank you for bringing me the information about the treaty. It seems our need for allies is more urgent than ever." She looks around the beach. "Moments before, you and the forces of the Golden Palace were celebrating your victory in the most chaotic battle to date, and now the survivors are rushing around in a desperate panic. I'll need some time to consider our next move. Until then, it looks like these people need a boost in morale, which I know to be your speciality. I'd appreciate it if you could organize a ceremony to bring everyone together, a function to memorialize what we've lost, to appreciate what we have, and to steel everyone's spirits for the fight ahead. Do you have any questions what this ceremony should entail?"
"I mean, what kind of spirit stealing are we talking about here?"
"The spirits within one's heart, of course, to make people a little more optimistic about their future rather than this situation." And she gestures back to the beach, and you see there's more people like fighting over some weapons, and Patrick and Karen have rushed to each other, and they're holding each other and looking in fear. You see Jim and Throbberdon are trying to help people back up from the waves, but more people are in a panic and just rushing about. With everyone in a state of fear and panic, it's going to be very difficult to maintain order and put together any sort of plan for what lies ahead.
Well, we can have a dancing light visual.
I was going to say, how would you feel about us throwing a ghost rave?
I know, right? Yeah. How about some undead? A little bit more. They're definitely more charming than the ones coming out of the ocean.
Our people might be forgiven for being a bit wary of the undead, but if you bring them to the cleric and have her check them out and she doesn't detect any evil about them, they're, of course, welcome to participate in whatever you have planned.
Yeah, it might be fun to throw a dance party. We came across these ghosts, and they seemed to be in need of release. And it sounds like the people on this part of the island who are in the throes of anxiety also are in need of some sort of release. So maybe we can all come together and have a release.
A conjunction function, if you will.
Did you say conjunction function?
Yes.
I had a feeling you'd know just what to do. Now, we do need to calm everyone and unite them for what lies ahead as quickly as possible. I recommend you take 1 hour to plan a ceremony, and then I'll have Augustus spread the word that it will occur in 1 hour on the scenic overlook over the Golden Palace. And of course, you can enlist the aid of anyone at the casino. You may wish to start with our cleric, Sister Baccarat.
I think we should start with some gelatinous turkey shots. That is the best way to raise spirits en masse. And that takes about 5 minutes.
It sounds like we're about to have a patio party on the roof. Hey.
And in that case, you may wish to speak with Lear, the bartender.
Yes.
Aren't the bar and the cleric like next to each other, sort of?
They are very close. Everything is within the main first floor of the casino.
Well, I feel like we have the equipment and the personnel to, and the spells to deliver a really solid function. So what if we go to the cleric and get the ghost checked out, make sure everything's okay, get the alcohol situation covered, and between the three of us, I think we can cast some cantrips and do some things that will enliven the place. And yeah, it looks like we have the equipment with the portable party to make something happen.
Outstanding. I look forward to hearing about your success in 1 hour. And Belfry walks back up the beach, up the steps. She gathers a few people with her as she goes, waving over to them. Ramshackle joins her, and they head up towards the Golden Palace. And just to set the scene, you're standing on the beach in a pile of debris that was the lifeguard tower. People are rushing in every direction, screaming and shouting. They're fighting over supplies. The ghosts and the portable party are at the far end of the beach. They're still partying, oblivious to everything else that's going on. And it is now up to you to put together a ceremony to memorialize what's been lost, appreciate what we have, and steel everyone's resolve for the fight ahead. So, where do you want to start?
Well, I think I'm going to make a bunch of little paper lanterns and light them up and have them float into the air.
That's really cute. That's a commemoration of what's been lost.
Yeah.
Okay, Freya, you head up the stairs to the Golden Palace, the grand opulent casino built into the hill at the far end of the beach. People rush past you in a frenzy, and you push open the doors to see the familiar interior of the Golden Palace. It's an enormous circular room full of gambling stations. In the center is a massive floor-to-ceiling aquarium lit from within with a gentle blue. Around the edges of the room, thick windows set into the walls look deep into the mountain, showing caverns of glowing magma. And at intervals around the curving walls, archways lead into other areas of the casino. The bar, the buffet, the theater, the chapel, and the spa. At the furthest end of the room is a bank of elevators. And the people of the casino are in a panic right now. They rush in every direction, crash into each other, fighting over items. As you walk in, you nearly crash into Cole and Shale, who are lugging two big suitcases with them. And they're startled to see you, and then Shale says, Oh, Freya, thank you again for rescuing Cole from the Kraken Priest Slayer. Look, he still has your signature on his ankle.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's so cute. I love it. Are you going to get it tattooed?
Yeah, of course. If we can get out of this, but I'm a little worried. I don't think it's going to go too well.
It'll all be fine. I promise.
You sound really confident.
Well, I have to be.
Roll persuasion.
Son of a... I'm terrified. Can you pass me my dice? I guess that's a two.
That's a two.
Freya, Cole says, oh, you see, she's putting on a brave face, but we're doomed. Oh, there's nothing for us here. And some of the tourists around you hear that. They burst into tears. And Shale says,
what, do you have some, secret weapon against a Kraken that we don't know about?
It's called hope.
Oh. A new hope?
Well, we're thinking about, like, just getting out of here and, like, taking our chances out at sea, maybe, or, like, running into the jungle. I don't know. Like, what are you going to do?
I'm going to stay here and fight, because if I go out to sea, I'll probably die. And if I die here, I was going to die anyway. So, honestly.
Boy, you really know how to cheer somebody up.
Would you rather die running away, or would you rather die fighting?
Oh my God.
And possibly live.
We're supposed to be raising people's spirits here. I'm just putting that out there.
What are you going to do here?
Well, we're going to find some magical objects, and we're going to go open up that ziggurat, hopefully.
Like this afternoon?
I mean, not right now, but we're going to...
What are you doing right now?
What am I doing right now?
We're throwing a party, girl.
This is why I'm terrible at dates, by the way. We're throwing a party.
Aren't you, like, making balloons or something?
Yeah, I'm making balloons. I'm the balloon animal person. Actually, I wanted to ask you guys about helping me make some paper lanterns.
Michelle looks a little confused and goes, why? I'm like, this? What are paper lanterns going
to
do?
Well, I wanted to bless them so that we could kind of commemorate what we've lost and kind of give us all hope for the future.
Michelle looks a little dubious, but Cole says, well, she did rescue me. I kind of owe her one. And a blessing from a cleric could be useful once we run away. I mean, once we stick around and fight.
Thanks, guys. I'm a terrible motivational speaker, by the way.
Cole says, well, I bet the concierge has some paper we could use. Ah, poor concierge. We'll really miss him, but he's some stacks of brochures and stuff.
Concierge died?
Yeah, it was real sad during one of the battles. I mean, if there's anything that people are going to want to remember in the ceremony, it's going to be the concierge.
I am very upset about this.
If you're going to be remembering what's been lost, you might want to say a few words about him.
Definitely. I'll make a special lantern just for him.
What else is the party doing for the ceremony?
I'm thinking about, like, the lifting the spirits part, you know, as the alchemist.
Are you just going to put all the ghosts in an elevator?
I'm going straight to cocktails.
Oh,
you know, I want to do some kind of, like, flaming cocktail that I can sort of use, like, thaumaturgy to, like, you know, make into, like, rainbow colors or something.
Ooh.
And so I'm going to need, like, Lear the bartender, and maybe if there's any, like, healers or, you know, mm-hmm. I want to, like, infuse the booze with, like, you know, just, like, feel-good herbs.
Yeah.
Know?
Xanax.
Or pills.
Yeah. Xanax is a sorcerer on the island. Butylene, you are still out on the beach, surrounded by the chaos of people rushing around, and you see Carmella trying to help some people who are injured in the battle. She's rubbing salve on their wounds. She shakes her head as you approach her, and she says, these are dark times we are facing.
Indeed, my dear. I feel like these lovely beings could use a raise in spirits. And I have an idea for a lovely cocktail.
Oh,
just
yes?
The perfect thing to get everyone dancing.
Oh, dancing, eh? Well, that would take everyone's mind off of the impending doom. And I do love to cut loose on a dance floor.
Me too.
What did you have in mind?
Well, I was thinking about if there's any sort of, like, native citrus fruits to the island, but also any, like, medicinal hybrid, maybe a little sativa, medicinal herbs of any variety.
She gives you a little wink and she says, I've got everything you could possibly need at the spa. I've got a special stash, you see.
I knew I could relate to you.
Come with me, my dear. And she puts her arm in your arm and you head up towards the spa, and she shows you some of the herbs that she's got in there, some of the things that you can incorporate into a cocktail. Did you want to speak to Lear as well to work out?
Yeah, let's bring Lear along for this ride.
Okay.
Because I'm going to definitely need some, like, overproof spirit. And then if there's any of that gelatinous turkey left, I think.
So he's tending bar over at the tavern in the casino. There's a lot of people who are, like, really, like, they need a drink. They're looking pretty upset. So he's working hard behind the bar. He sees you coming. He gives you a wave. He's like, how's it going? Glad you made it back.
Oh, it is lovely to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, too, in one piece.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you have any flammable spirits and or some gelatinous turkey you might be able to spare.
Oh boy, do I ever! This place would go up in flames pretty fast. if you light a match around here. But yeah, we've got some pretty tasty. It'll peel your paint and curl your toes.
Mm. Do you have any spirits flavored with chamomile or calming herbs that you can think of, or just the usual?
I see, like something for a nightcap, something to like settle your stomach.
Exactly, like a. We'll call this a flaming melatonin shot we're making for the.
let me have you roll investigation.
I want one of those.
Right. Right. Do try this at home. 21 total.
Hey.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, he's like, oh, well, how would this do the trick? And he reaches up to a shelf. You can see up there, there's sleepy time vodka.
Tension tamer
vodka, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Real calming.
Yeah, it's got that good catnip in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a...
There's a picture of a bugbear on the label with like a sleeping cap on.
Oh my gosh, this is the one. Thank you, Lear. Now, what about something flammable? Like, is this overproof enough? Or do you have something that we could make a nice little colorful fire on top?
All right, roll investigation again.
That's a 12. 14.
You can see there's a brand of rum called... Fireballs.
Ooh, yes.
It's got a picture of a devil on the label casting fireballs out from his hands.
I can relate to that. Perfect. I love it. This will definitely do.
He looks at the label and he says, oh, it's uncanny likeness. Yeah. You're made for each other.
Ding. I'm just going to smile a little glint of light off my big canine.
So you've secured some vodka and some calming herbs for the ceremony. Arson?
I would like to gather the ghosts up and teach them an interpretive flash mob dance. Ooh. To perform in the middle of the dance party. that honors what has come before us and gives thanks for what we have today and pushes us forward into the future.
Outstanding. The ghosts are still like dancing over on the beach by the porta potty.
Hashtag porta potty. Porta potty.
I just have this image of like the whole battle raging on and they're over there like...
Oh my gosh, I love
it. Smoldering wreckage all around them. But they're just like having a grand old time. They're dancing.
I mean, they're ghosts, right?
I know, it's like, how could you not appreciate that? Just like a bunch of like, you know, apparitions dancing, coming towards you.
In the middle of a giant battle.
Oh, yeah.
DG Cyber Preppy is at the altar playing the music and he sees you coming over and he's like, hello, my friend. What can we do for you? Are you here for party time?
Actually, I am, believe it or not. We just got the go-ahead to throw a rooftop party here at the Golden Palace tonight.
This is going to be lit.
I know. I'm really excited about it. We actually get to do a flash mob dance for the rest of the party in order at like peak hours in order to get everyone riled up and really like throw a solid party. And I was wondering if you all would be interested in helping me out with that. I think that would be a really exciting prospect and make for a really fun time.
I love it. What kind of dance? Let me have you do a performance check to demonstrate a dance for these folks.
Oh no.
Is it going to be very Save the Last Dance, hip-hop ballet, lyrical?
It's very like, so you think you can dance like... That very like
the opening numbers.
Like that very like pop lyrical modern where it's like we're dancing really hard and everyone's crying and it means something, you know.
Oh, like beyond belief dance kind of
thing. Like yeah, kind of like that. Oh my god, it's a 7 total.
Well, so the ghosts aren't quite... They're trying to keep up. They're doing their best to keep up as you demonstrate the dance. The ghosts are putting their own spin on it. It's really unsettling. They've got terrible grimaces on their faces. It's scaring the tourists around them even worse. There's people screaming and they shriek and run away from the ghosts.
Here's what I'll do. I will... I'll try to make it more... Like rehearsal environments can kind of feel stuffy and a little, like... too formal. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to use my prestidigitation cantrip to light a small campfire in the middle of the place and make it sort of like a dance around the fire moment so that it's a little more comfortable for them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you use prestidigitation. There's like a little campfire sort of like pops into existence in the center there. And it's casting like beams of light through the ghosts now. Roll performance again.
That's a 14.
Okay, with the 14, the lighting effect is actually kind of soothing. And the ghosts relax a little bit. They're no longer quite so scary. The campfire is close to the portable party, and the light reflects off the gems on the front and casts a calming glow up into the air. People around you gaze up, and they calm down a little bit, and the folks who are close by are now a little distracted by the actual beauty of the rehearsal.
Some free promo. I love that.
Yes.
So the ghosts are, they're kind of getting it now. They're like, we get it. DJ Cyber Preppy says, oh, we're going to throw the best party this beach has ever seen.
Just got to get you like checked in with the cleric just to make sure that everything is good and that you've had all your shots.
It's basically your 3 months checkup.
Yeah, you know, just making sure everything's fine.
Let's go. We'll just need somebody to drag the party along with us.
You know me, I'm always good about dragging a party along.
You're a professional, I can tell. And so the portable party, they're all kind of like circling around the altar there. As you recall, it does have like loops where people can like insert a pole through it to carry it or lift it or something like that.
Yes.
And there's, you know, around the beach, other survivors there. Like if you want to ask folks for help, Chernobyl is out there with her arm that's been patched up.
You know, as fragile as Chernobyl is in this moment, I bet, like, she has more strength in one arm than I do in my entire body. So I think I'm going to go ask Chernobyl if she would be able to assist.
Okay. What would you like to say?
So I'll go over to Chernobyl and be like, hi, Chernobyl. How's it going?
Greetings. I've been better.
That's understandable. Hey, can I ask a really quick favor of you?
Of course.
So we have this portable party, and it takes more than one being to lift it and carry it. And so I was just wondering if you would be willing to assist with that for a few minutes.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. The undead are spoopy. You're going to get them checked out to make sure they are not evil, right?
Yes, absolutely. That is a priority for everyone, myself included.
Excellent. No problem. That I can lift that by myself. No big deal.
Oh, thank you. Oh, geez. That's very kind of you, Chernobyl. Thank you.
Of course.
Okay. Well, while Chernobyl does that, I am going to bring the field trip of ghosts inside for a chat with the cleric.
We must follow the shrine. Wherever the altar goes, we follow.
Okay. Well, I guess we're bringing the DJ booth to the cleric, right, too.
She's bringing her friends to the free cleric.
You know, party in the temple, you know.
Chernobyl lugs the portable party up the steps of the Golden Palace and into the casino. There's been a lot of, like, shrieking and rushing around in panic, but this dance party with, like, the flickering lights coming from the altar, people are, like, distracted by this. They're like, oh, okay, I guess not everyone is in a state of panic right now. And you carry it inside and over to Sister Baccarat's shrine, the Luck Shrine with the cleric. And she has been tending to some folks there and giving some blessings to them. And she sees you come in. She's like, welcome, welcome back. What have you got for me? Good to see you.
Hello, hello, hello. hi, how have you been?
Well, it's been an exciting couple of days, but I'm glad for good luck or bad luck, whichever it brings.
Same. That's a mood. Hey, so just wanted to stop by because I've got all these undead beings with me that are not sea spawn.
Yeah, who are your friends?
Yeah, these are ghosts that we ran into just earlier in the day, and they seem really friendly, and they want to work together to throw a really cool party here. And I just wanted to stop by and get your insight on just making sure that these are benevolent beings with good intentions and are not up to anything that you can detect.
The ghosts are now filling the shrine. They're like dancing around. They're surrounding Sister Baccarat, and some of them are admiring her feather
leathery showgirl vestments, and they see, like, there's a kind of a closet off to the side where she's got some more, like, glittery outfits, and they're admiring that. And, so Sister Baccarat looks around at them, and she kind of, she holds out her hands, and she closes her eyes, and she takes a deep breath, casting Detect Good and Evil, and she says, "Oh, these are some real party animals. These are my kind of people." All right. Glad to have you here, folks.
Good. Thank you so much for your blessing and for checking. I really appreciate that.
Thumbs up from the sister.
Yay. Yay. Cool. Well, we're going to go and throw a party, and you're more than welcome to come if you are feeling like coming.
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
Yay. God, I'm really glad to see you there.
Okay, Chernobyl lugs the portable party back outside, and the ghosts follow her. And looking around the casino, you still see a lot of turmoil and fear. You catch a glimpse of Brent, the half-elf gambler, trying to construct armor for himself out of a bunch of plates in the buffet. Nomi is talking urgently with Patrick in the tavern, concealing his lobster claw under a tablecloth. You spot Wilfred, the tabaxi gambler. He's hiding under a pile of furniture, his tail is twitching back and forth. And as your preparations around the casino come together, it takes about an hour for you to gather everything up. During that time, Augustus posts flyers advertising the ceremony, and people are now warily heading up the path toward the scenic overlook. So you join the tourists climbing the winding trail up through the jungle, heading for the bluff at the top of the cliff that the Golden Palace is set into. And the tourists are hiking up around with you. Some of them look a little encouraged, but a lot of them are uneasy. They're whispering to each other, glancing around with anxious faces. It's about a 15-minute walk up to the clearing at the top. The sun is just starting to set towards the horizon when you reach the outcropping. The path leads out from the jungle to tall, pointed rocks that have runes carved into them. Those rocks frame a clearing that has wooden benches facing a raised platform. The tourists take their seat at the benches, and you walk down a center aisle towards the stage. Beyond the stage, there are a few stone arches at the far end of the overlook, and there's a few glomabirds just preening themselves on top. And past them, the sea is glowing orange as the setting sun shines through the thick storm clouds at the horizon. There's flickers of lightning striking out over the sea in the distance, and every now and then a low rumble of thunder. Sir Throbberdon approaches. He's been walking up with Jim Jim. Jim Jim finds a seat, and Sir Throbberdon kind of takes the three of you aside. And he says, "I wonder if I might say a few words at the end of the ceremony, if that's all right with you."
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. He nervously finds his seat. People are still looking a little uneasy and distracted by the sight of the Kraken storm raging out on the horizon. It is time for the ceremony to commemorate what's been lost, appreciate what we have, steel our resolve for the fight ahead. So, who wants to start?
Well, I guess I should, do you want to start with shots, or should we start with the candlelight visual?
Well, I feel like maybe we could do, like, a toast. I'm going to grab Lear, and we're just going to, like, head to, like, the bar zone. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, I just have it ahead of time. I infused the Sleepy Time vodka with Carmela's herbs. Mm-hmm. And then combined that with some local citrus. And I just so happened to have Heward's handy spice pouch, which I pulled out of my pocket. And sprinkle a clove-flavored seasoning into there. So it's like, you know, it's like herby vodka and citrus and some local honey, and then that gets all mixed up, and then it goes into, like, sort of tiki style cocktail glasses that sort of, like, flare out at the top, and then that's where I pour the flammable fireballs rum.
Okay. You have quite a few options, like, laid out for people at the bar. A few people have, like, taken a few drinks, and they look either they've taken the relaxing ones and they're like, or they've taken the more flaming ones and they're like, woo! They're ready to party. So spirits are in good. And DJ Cyber Preppy is up there. He's kind of playing some music to set the mood. Background party music that people are kind of, like, grooving to.
Entrance music.
Yeah. So how do you want to start the ceremony?
Freya the cleric.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I have all of my paper lanterns laid out, and I'm going to start lighting one by one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with the cantrip light, and I'm just going to light each lantern.
Oh.
And I'm going to say, "So you feel misunderstood. Baby, well, I've got news for you. Oh, being used. I could write a book. You don't want to hear about it. I've been losing sleep. You've been going cheap. She ain't worth half of me, it's true. I'm telling you. And I'm going to turn around. Give me 1 second. Shiza. So I'm going to turn around and suddenly I'm going to... I rolled a 2. And I think plus performance.
You don't have to roll if I don't tell you.
Just wait. I mean, I kind of feel like I had to because you're gonna see why. I have a 0 on performance. So I'm going to turn around and suddenly I'm going to be dripping in a dress of seaweeds with a seaweed wig because I couldn't afford a Bob Mackie remake of a beaded gown. And I'm going to start singing. You're going to hear, da, 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 so I'm strong enough to live. And I'm going to be doing it terribly because I rolled a 2. And trying to like reenact this whole music video moment while I use Gust of Wind, which is going to be a spell slot to make the lanterns float.
Great.
Oh,
just to raise everyone's spirits on that too.
Can I cast dancing lights to add lights to the atmosphere?
I would love that.
Distracting from Freya's terrible singing performance.
Freya, with the dancing lights kind of like flashing behind you, I'd let you roll with advantage your performance.
Oh, perfect. Let me try that one more time. A 9? So, like, my seaweed dress just became a little bit more glittery.
Right.
And I actually started singing on key.
Yeah, it was a shaky start. It was a little pitchy.
Like Monet Exchange went in her talent for AS4.
So, but you found your key and you
still
are
not
now...
great, but better.
And the dancing lights are distracting a bit from the shaky singing, but the audience is kind of cringing and you hear someone say, who hired this group? And someone else is like, well, maybe it's for the best the concierge isn't around to see this.
Oh, concierge.
Do you want to say a few words about him?
Let's see, do I? Concierge really reminded me of someone that I've seen before and I liked it. Like you. That's all. I'm terrible at words. He was the best character here. Really just brightened everyone's day.
Just the sweetest.
The audience looks, I'll be honest, a little perplexed. Nomi scratches his head with a lobster claw, but the balloons are floating up over the audience, and you have memorialized in your way what's been lost. Now it is time to appreciate what everyone still has and steal their resolve for the future.
Well, we could do like the flaming shots. Like,
yes. You
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like nothing raises, you know, makes a
nothing raises life. Spirits more than some spirits.
The spirits.
Pass around the flaming shots to everybody to raise them up in a toast. Do you have a few words to say?
And just maybe like, I don't know what I want to say.
Hey, just think of what I would say and say the opposite.
Oh, shit. You know, we have all definitely lost a lot on this little island here, but sometimes you just have to, like, take inventory and look around you and realize that what you do have is still pretty great, and that's each other, you know? It's your friends and the people you fought with, and cheers to still being here to do this.
Atta girl.
Cheers. They all like clink their glasses together. You see Patrick and Karen have their arms around each other and Jim Jim and Sir Throbodon clink their glasses.
And they're all on fire, by the way. And then I cast Thaumaturgy to turn the fire into rainbow.
Oh, okay.
It's a rainbow colored fire.
A rainbow kind of like shines down on the audience. Yes. And everyone cheers.
Cheers. While their attention is wrapped, let's just keep it simple and I'll be like, everyone, thank you so much for your kind words. We're about to get to the dancing portion in a bit, but before we do, I have a very special person to introduce. It sounds to me like Throbodon would like to say some words, so I am going to give this person the floor. So take it away.
Throbodon stands up. Jim Jim looks a little surprised, and Throbodon walks forward to the stage through the shimmering rainbow that you've cast. He looks around and he says, thank you. Thank you very much. Jim Jim, my brave young Jim Jim, I have done my best to instill in you a sense of honor and bravery. Never did I think that we would be called upon to fight such terrible foes. You have defended the Golden Palace. You helped kill a Kraken priest. You endured in my absence. Please, would you step forward and present your sword? And Jim Jim takes a step towards the stage. He's holding the sword that he fought the Kraken priest with. He holds it up, and Sir Throbberdon takes it. And he holds it over Jim Jim, who kneels. And Sir Throbberdon says, "Now, may it please the assembled lords and ladies to know that in recognition of your bravery, I do dub you Sir Jim Jim, Sir Jim Jim the..." And he looks off stage to you all. He says, what should his title be?
The sickening.
Yes!
Done.
Sir Jim Jim the sickening. Everyone in the audience cheers. Jim Jim is beaming. Yes. And Throbberdon says, "Now arise, Sir Jim Jim the sickening. I present to you Sir Jim Jim the sickening and his blade." And ooh, he hands the blade to Jim Jim, and Jim Jim likes, what should I name my blade?
Yes, queen. Yes, queen. Blade, yes, queen.
Jim Jim holds the blade aloft and proclaims, "Yes, queen."
Yeah.
Yes.
And everyone is cheering and throwing their hats up in the air. There's a hip hip hooray that comes from the back of the audience. Everyone is just like really smiling.
Oh, we should cue DJ Cyber Preppy to do like outro music.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, yes, yes. Keep the energy just rolling right on through. Yeah, a little bit of that.
Now let's fucking party.
Kick with the snare. Let's do it.
The ghosts are poised just off to the side to begin the flash mob dance, and up above you see the last of the balloons disappearing up into the clouds. The clouds drift by, and you see a shape kind of like curl into existence in the clouds up above. It is the concierge. The clouds take the form of your friend, the concierge. Smiles down on the assembled tourists and waves to them in sort of a cloudy shape. Next to him, another cloud billows and appears. It's Tootsie the Clown. Tootsie the Clown looks down and waves to everybody. Then these two cloudy shapes look to each other with their arms around each other. Their heads lean in, they start making out. And two clouds shaped like curtains close in front of them.
Aww.
And dissipate.
If those aren't raised spirits, I don't know what are.
Right. That's another level, girl. Cloud orgy.
Can I maybe ignite the flash mob and then...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If that's okay, then what I would like to do is go to the center of the dance floor, give DJ Cyber Preppy a wink, and Cyber Preppy is gonna play Sandstorm, and that's the cue for all of the ghosts to start doing the choreographed dance, because we choreographed it to Sandstorm by Darude.
And you want to like set up a little campfire there again?
Yes.
To like,
yeah, and we'll cantrip it and prestidigitation that shit and just like make it happen in the middle of the dance floor.
Once again, the light of the campfire in front of the altar is like bouncing off the gems and radiating out through the crowd. So when it comes to commemorating what was lost, appreciating what's still around, preparing for the battle ahead, the show was a little bit mixed. There's some successes, some misses. The knighting of Jim Jim seems to have really excited a lot of people. And you know, a lot of the people who came now look like they are in a better mood, dancing with the ghosts and carrying on, drinking. And you see in the crowd, Ramshackle moving from person to person, saying a few words. He says something to Chernobyl, then to Karen and Patrick, then to Nomi and Ellen. He dodges around the dancing ghosts, and he approaches you, and he says, "Not bad, not bad. This is certainly an improvement. People may be a bit anxious still about the Kraken, but this party and the surprise knighting seems to have buoyed everyone enough that order will be maintained. Now then, Belfry would like certain individuals to gather for a meeting in the theater right now, including all of you. So, shall we?"
Do we that. Shall.
As you peel away from the party with Ramshackle heading back down towards the casino, you're joined by Sister Baccarat and Carmella arm in arm. Lamont DuPont is walking down as well, Karen and Patrick. As the group is descending the hill, you feel a little rumble under your feet, mm-hmm. and the ground shifts a little bit. And from a crack in a nearby hillside, there's a little spurt of magma that lands and splatters on the ground, cools and dries instantly.
And Karen, who's walking just a few steps behind you, says, "Ooh, I've been seeing a lot more of that lately. It's probably not a good sign, huh?"
Yes. I don't know. It's kind of hot.
You're terrible. I love magma.
You head up the stairs of the Golden Palace and through the main doors. You see a few other folks heading towards the theater, folks that you've spoken to before. Lear is heading that way. Chernobyl, Sir Throbberdon, and Jim. Nomi is following behind you. He's been he was dancing with the ghost for a while, but his arm is his crab arm that he's got now is making it a little unwieldy. Ellen's heading into the theater as well. And inside the theater, everyone finds some seats. They're murmuring quietly to each other. Up on stage, Belfry is standing at a podium watching everyone arrive. Ramshackle climbs up onto the stage as well to stand behind her at a chalkboard. And the ghost light is just off to the side. Augustus is looking proudly at the ghost light that has been installed. And Belfry clears her throat. "I think we're all aware that we are in a very serious predicament. The Kraken wants what is in the ziggurat, and will destroy the island in 14 days. On top of that, the seismic activity has been growing worse. We are certainly no match for a Kraken, and help is not going to come from off the island. We cannot save ourselves on our own. But there is hope. The treaty, as discovered by our queens, contains a mutual defense provision for defending the island alongside the Glamazons. We may be able to survive this ordeal with the help of allies. But first, we must develop a proposal that we can present to the Glamazons. The odds may look steep, but I've made it through a crisis or two of my own in the past with the help of a raggedy team of unlikely cohorts. And so, tonight, I've gathered the top experts at the casino, that's all of you, so that we may assemble a proposal for the Glamazons. According to the treaty, any mutual defense must address 6 points in order for us to present it to the Glamazons. The treaty says that we must first identify a threat, then propose a course of action to resolve the threat, identify the assets that the Hogs, which is us, will contribute, define the scope of the expected Glamazon involvement, establish a timetable for action, and for extra credit, include written support from at least 3 experts in relevant fields. So let us begin at step 1. Identify a threat. Would anyone like to describe the threat that faces us?
Release the Kraken.
We can maybe get a little more specific than that.
Well, also, like in our misadventures, as they were, we came across a devil that has a plan to cultivate lava babies and possibly blow up the island with lava. So I feel like that we should definitely add that to our task list of problems at hand.
Did he want to blow up the island or just...
As far as I know,
there's a plan to.
There are
blow
still
up.
Some abandoned lava babies in a cavern somewhere that are doing who knows what.
And a plausible plan to blow up the island.
Correct. Yeah, and even though Barb had abandoned that plan, so that he could, you know, try to make mutants to fight this Kraken, or was he fighting the priest or the Kraken itself?
I think it was. Was it the Kraken? Let's roll for history.
So Barb told you that he wanted to sabotage his boss's plan to blow up the island by using Butylene's mutagen to assemble a mutant army.
Yeah. But I think as far as we know, there's still like little lava babies down there.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely should tend to that. But yeah, like A number one is this huge Kraken that's going to like blow us up in 14 days.
Yeah, there's a giant beast off in the ocean that's making a ruckus and could completely destroy everything and everyone on this island if we do not give them the power.
The treasure that's in the ziggurat.
The treasure in the ziggurat.
I think that sums it up. And she gestures to Ramshackle, and Ramshackle writes on the board that the Kraken will destroy the island in 14 days unless it's given the power in the ziggurat. And he also adds a bullet underneath that for lava babies planning something beneath the island, devils plotting nearby. She says, well, next in the treaty, it says that we must propose a course of action to resolve the threat. As of now, do you have any thoughts on what we should do?
Well, I think the lava baby's idea is probably a very plausible thing. There's also merfolk that live underneath this ocean that are neighbors of yours that we could talk to and probably
see if we can have them help. There's also the key to the ziggurat somewhere lost at sea that we could possibly find and have. But also, and I'm going to turn towards Ellen, do you know why the Kraken wants what's inside the ziggurat?
I know that what's in the ziggurat is incredibly powerful, that the Glamazon civilization was established to keep it out of evil hands. We've been protecting it for over 1,000 years, but very intentionally, the people who hid it there obscured what it actually is. So I'm afraid no Glamazon actually knows what's in the bottom of that ziggurat.
So we're not we wouldn't necessarily be positive if it could help destroy the Kraken.
We know it was a powerful artifact that belonged to the legendary queens of old. They brought it here to keep it away from wicked people who'd misuse it and bring ruin upon all the world. We don't know what it is exactly. All we know is that it was one of the greatest treasures of the great queens.
Good to know. Okay.
Sorry, just to clarify, did we propose a specific action that we were going to take?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Why did we come back around to that?
We're kind of flying at the seat of our pants at the moment.
Figure out what exactly we have to work with.
Cool. Mm-hmm. 14 days to live, you know.
Yeah. I've survived worse. Ramshackle's been writing this on the board, and Belfry says, this flows nicely into the next section in the treaty, which is to identify the assets that the Hogs can contribute. And it sounds, Freya, as though the merfolk and the lava babies and this key that you mentioned might be assets that we could provide. What other assets do we have at our disposal?
We also have the heart.
I do have a Kraken Priest heart that came in handy a little bit when controlling the sea spawn particularly.
Yeah, Nomi's looking at it right now. It's at the end of your trident. Is it on a trident?
Just spear.
A spear. Nomi's looking at it at the end of your spear, and he's like, yeah, that's quite an artifact. With some investigation, I might be able to figure out what this is, what we could do with
Absolutely.
it.
Absolutely. I'll just like kind of... pull it off and just kind of, here you go.
Oh, grief. You just like plop it. It's big because he's a small guy. He's just like holding it with one hand and his lobster claw on the other.
Yeah, I don't know if that stain's going to come out, but...
Nomi's now cradling the heart in his arms. He's staring at it with wide eyes. He just looks totally transfixed by the heart once he has it.
It sounds like Freya might have access to sea people resources.
Mm-hmm.
They're, depending on how much time we end up having to prepare what we have, I might be able to go to the Underdark and see if there are people who are willing to help me out. I know Butylene had an adventure at the very beginning where like she was able to convince whoever that she was their boss. So maybe we could go back to them and see what's up.
It has been a very long lunch break, though.
So I
got sidetracked.
I think in terms of like things we can offer, we definitely have people resources who have proven effective in challenging situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And apparently Freya's going to tame a wyvern, so...
I mean, I kind of want to, but that's like later on, you know?
Oh, okay, that's like, life goals.
That's like
life
New
goals.
Year's resolution. Oh,
yeah.
Everyone in the theater goes, ooh!
I really want a pet wyvern.
Right, she's been watching...
I've never had a pet before.
She's been watching How to Tame Your Wyvern.
How to Tame Your Wyvern.
Patrick has been reading through a book, and he says, well, we were able to find some information on the wyverns earlier when you departed, so we may be able to learn a bit more about them. If we can somehow harness their abilities, they could be an asset.
Holy cow,
yes.
I mean, just feed them a ton of fish until like they kind of like the dogs at a junkyard dogs. You know, here's some meat. Hey guys.
Ramshackle's been writing up all this on the chalkboard, the Underdark and lava babies again, and wyverns is a possible asset.
If I might interject, if the Glamazons do agree to help you out, we do have extensive maps of the Under Island, which could help you identify potential magma pockets where these lava babies might be found.
Ooh. Can you say magma again?
Magma.
Thank you.
And also, with respect to the Underdark, I don't know if our Drider friend here has heard the story, because I don't remember what we've said session to session.
Same. Relatable.
But there is a legend among the Glamazons that shortly after our founders arrived, they were pursued by people who were trying to destroy them as they were setting up Glamalala. And there was a group of drow that came up from the Underdark to their aid. Those drow were cursed and turned into driders, and they went a little cuckoo. But the legend is that Dame Celia Molestrongle, one of our founders, sealed them away in a special portion of the Underdark. And as far as we know, that's the last anyone ever heard of them.
Dame Celia Molestrongle. So we found coins that said, what was it? Kisses, darling, DCM.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that would mean or stand for?
Sure. You give it a kiss and it gives you a tip.
That was... I'm a little internally angry at myself for that being so stupidly simple. Well, fuck me.
We'll put the coin on our side quest. Right.
Go kiss some coins.
Dame Celia set up shrines all over the island, and they're there to help people. So if you need some help, you leave a little something with her. She gives you one of her tokens, and in your time of need, you give it a little kissy poo, and she'll give you a little tip.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, we'll have to,
like my love life.
You know, take that for next time.
Right. Give a little kiss, you get a little tip.
Well, it sounds to me like I'm just going to put this out there that I had an Underdark experience very early on. And as a current drider, I feel more than qualified to perhaps go back to said Underdark and get the driders moving and assist in whatever tasks that may need assistance.
Excellent, excellent. This is wonderful. And Belfry is directing Ramshackle to write all this on the board. She was particularly interested when Ellen mentioned the maps of the magma underground. She said that the next portion of the treaty says that we must define the scope of expected Glamazon involvement. In other words, what do we need from them? Those maps would be very helpful. What else would we like the Glamazons to contribute?
I mean, just overall help, whatever they can possibly... I don't know.
So we need to find the scepter so that we can get what's in the ziggurat, right?
Is that Ellen, true? Do you know if there's any Hennessy people among the Glamazons, water type, if specifically so I could, you know, have at least a nice X-Force team to go underwater with me?
There is a Hennessy temple on our side of the island with people with Hennessy heritage, it's true. We have a number of things we can offer, including, for instance, we could give you access to our side of the island, if that would be helpful.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially if we're looking for some sort of treasure or some sort of power, whether we use it, whether we hand it over, there's like access to at least knowledge of the lands outside of our borders.
And I'm sure, what's his name? Our roommates from before.
Karen and Patrick?
Patrick. Are they here?
Yeah.
Oh, Karen, Patrick. That looked like Kermit. Sorry. Like, what did that say? But yeah, Patrick's a bookworm, so he could definitely, like, whatever knowledge or books you guys have, if any access that he can have to that, he could definitely use to his advantage.
Oh, we have one of the greatest libraries in the world.
Oh.
We could also, if part of our...
Is it always open?
If part of our quest for the magma babies involves force, the Glamazons have proven themselves to be very forceful and very powerful, right, and might be of significant help if we run into any situations where we would need to defend ourselves.
Our engineers do have fire-resistant armor, which for those of you who do not have a natural fire resistance, you may find the ceramic plating much more comfortable than the leather that will burn into your skin.
Yes. what she said.
Also, since he seemed a little like, going back onto our memories... he didn't really seem like such a terrible person, even though he was kind of doing some shady things and we didn't necessarily particularly like what he was doing offhand, like from first look. Is there any way that we might be able to, since he had a sort of idea and a plan, talk to Barb? The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
You're the one with the psychic connection, girl.
I don't have a psychic connection to him particularly, but if he can hear my thoughts at the moment, it'd be nice if he walked in and see what we... you know, hey, girl, hey.
Yeah, but I mean, he was definitely...
if he has any information.
Very powerful.
And very forceful and aggressive. Like, yeah, you bought me a drink, but you don't need it. Like, I don't want to sleep with you. Thanks very much. Go away. Sort of a way. Like, cool, you're aggressive. I got it. You got me a drink, but I'm not interested.
It's quite the metaphor for
However, I may or may not be interested now, since we're in a bit of a debacle.
Oh, my God.
You're painting quite the portrait of this ally.
You're welcome. Right. I mean, you know, it's the best way I know how to describe things.
Well, we'll certainly add him to the list. Now, it also requires that we establish a timetable for action.
Yeah,
ASAP.
Sure. Well, I mean, we could use a little lick of our wounds and a nap. A big long nap.
Yeah, a nice long rest.
Yes, of course. We would want you to be in best condition possible before undertaking any sort of excursion, so we're not going to embark on anything this evening, of course.
Ellen, is there any way that you can talk to one of the Glomma birds to see if we can rally up a team as soon as we get all this stuff put together?
Belfry says, the treaty actually has a provision for presenting this plan to the Glamazons. We're to bring it to the observatory on the top of the Radiant Rise, where we can meet with a delegation from the Glamazon people.
So it's a rising of radiance?
It's a rising of radiance, indeed.
How long does it take to get to that point from here?
It's a walk of just a few hours, and I was planning on bringing an entourage up there in the morning.
Okay, that's not too terrible.
Yeah, it's just kind of like ASAP, you know, like after, as soon as we feel rejuvenated.
I think we've got enough time to do a long rest and get everything together before we head off on any excursions.
Yes, a meeting with the Glamazons will hopefully yield more specific timetables for venturing to different parts of the island. For now, we simply have one very prominent ticking clock, and she pokes the blackboard on the 14 days before the Kraken destroys the island.
Yes.
Belfry says, and finally, at the bottom of the treaty, it says that for extra credit, we can include written support from at least 3 experts in relevant fields. Are there particular experts on whose wisdom you feel it would be particularly helpful to draw?
I think Patrick is pretty wise and is, like I said, a bookworm.
Oh, you sweet talker.
And has probably learned a bit more about the Kraken than the rest of us.
He says, well, I don't like to brag, but I have read a lot of books. Now, you said you have a big library on your side of the island?
Oh, the biggest, yes.
And apparently it's always open.
That sounds dreamy. And he whips out, he's got like, he opens his jacket, and you can see he's got like lots of bookmarks hanging inside his jacket, like contraband, magnifying glass, and he's like, I'm on the case! And he holds the magnifying glass up to his eye.
Would it be against the rules to have Ellen be written support?
No, I'd be happy to do it. My expertise, I think, would be accepted.
Okay, yeah, just because I think having a Glamazon perspective might be pretty persuasive.
Certainly, I will document what I have observed and also what I have conferred with Patrick and learned about the Kraken.
Cool. Then who's our third slot for extra credit?
Well, I mean, maybe that's where Barb would be helpful.
Yeah,
you know, as someone who like
who knows what's going on.
Yeah, like he seemed to know a lot about what was happening.
That is an intriguing proposition. It does say in the treaty that it must include written support, but if you think you can obtain written documentation from Barb.
I mean, can everyone just think Barb's name real quick?
I do think he knows.
See if he'd pop in.
Right. Well, and we gotta get something like now, you know? Like, true. That sounds hard. I feel like we can.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Would it be possible if he just happened to walk through the door at this very moment?
Kind of mental email.
Also, written support says it's like bonus point / extra credit. So, like, I don't think we have to like bend universes in order to get like one more expert. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean, it's not really. He's here somewhere.
You hear a bit of a rustle and a squeak, and you notice a rat scurry across the stage and disappear into a crack in the wall.
Oh, rat.
I smell a rat. Hmm. Do we have like a Harry Potter spell?
Do we have cheese?
Yeah, right.
Do we have cheese? What is anyone able to
Can you call your friend?
Do you want to like lean down to the crack in the wall and shout
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, you shout that
hey,
into the wall.
Hey, boo.
We'll just think of that as like foreshadowing.
Can you have Barb show up at some point tomorrow morning at the Radiant Rise? Please and thank you.
Wait,
we
can
have
you come
a
back with
questions.
Barb's fax number? That'd be great. Thank you.
Send him an email.
Lear just subtly like takes the drink that you were drinking and moves it to the other side of the counter.
You've been cut off.
Sorry, who's our third? Who's our third?
Patrick, Ellen.
I mean, Throbberdon also spent time with Barb, so it could be a good second. Like, so Throbby, what do you? Would you have any knowledge on?
Oh, dear, yeah, of course, because he was like trapped yeah. with Barb, so he could probably give like a pretty decent written synopsis of
yes,
that
I,
whole plan.
I was able to observe his habits and what his plan seems to be. I could provide some insight.
We could, let's do that.
That's, yeah, that sounds like good insight to have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a person that we have right here, right now, who is definitely on our side.
And I have some knowledge of tactics and battle. I'm happy to contribute that as well.
Oh, yeah, that is as well. Yeah, that is correct.
Belfry's smiling. She's looking over the list of things that Ramshackle has put up on the board. She says, it looks like something's starting to come together here. We can circle back to the step two on the treaty, which was to propose a course of action to resolve the threat. Mm. What exactly do you think we should propose to the Glamazons?
Well, we should definitely put an army together of Glamazons, Lava Babies, and undersea merfolk if they're able to, because I think that they are very pacifist. They're pacifists, I believe. So if any of them are willing to, I can get that. We also need to find what's inside the ziggurat and see if it'll help destroy the Kraken. And we need a definite plan B of being able to get everyone off of this island just in case everything goes south.
Yeah. Excellent. Put an army together, figure out what's in the ziggurat, get everyone off the island. We've got quite a few assets to offer. We've got some specific asks of the Glamazons, such as access to lands and information, some person power, some armor. We've got our experts of Patrick, Ellen, and Sir Throbberdon. I think we have a proposal. Well done. And ooh. Everyone in the theater is looking around at each other appreciatively. They're feeling kind of, looks like spirits are buoyed.
Awesome. Off in the distance, Xena Warrior Princess music is playing.
Would you say with the addition of the ghost that the spirits are buoyed? Ah!
Augustus says, boo to that joke. So everyone's kind of conferring with each other now in the audience. They're looking pretty optimistic. Belfry steps down from the stage and comes over to you and she says, This is good. I think we actually have something quite promising on our hands. Now, as for the three of you, I recommend you relax a bit, recover your strength. I can tell that you've been through a lot to return to the Golden Palace. I'm going to work on the proposal overnight, drafting up a specific document, and we'll reconvene with our experts tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for an excursion up to the observatory. I hear that the ceremony up on the overlook went some ways towards settling tension at the casino, though I do fear that panic might break out again in the future, so it has never been more urgent that we are all rested and ready for what lies ahead. Please avail yourselves of the services at the casino to gather your strength. Meeting dismissed. So you've put together a plan to present to the Glamazons. Belfry's going to work on it overnight. In the meantime, she's urged you to avail yourselves of some services at the Golden Palace to relax, recover your strength, reflect on what you've been through and what lies ahead. So everyone's now streaming out of the theater and bidding good night to each other. It's getting come on in the evening. It's around 8 p.m. or so. Butylene, where would you like to go to relax and reflect?
I think I would love to make a lovely cup of tea and head to the library, you know.
So Patrick has quite a collection of books up in the suite, so you could...
Yeah, I definitely think I would love to talk to a dear old friend at this point. Yeah, so maybe I'd be down to go to Patrick, to the library.
Patrick is up in the suite that you all share with Karen and Patrick. Nomi is with him as well, and they're studying some books and looking through and conferring with each other about Kraken priests and lore and spells and stuff, and
as you walk in with your mug of tea steaming, they're just talking about that Kraken Priest heart. It's on the table, and they're looking over to it and like comparing it to like illustrations in a book and trying to figure it out. And Naomi says, "How you doing? How you doing? You're looking good."
I've been better.
It's been a while since I saw you. What looks like you've been through a lot, huh?
Yeah, we've been there and back again.
and Patrick is still flipping through books, and he's like, "We're trying to see what we can learn about this heart here that you recovered. This is quite a find."
Yeah, I mean, did either of you see like what happened, what we were able to use it for in that last little combat?
Yeah, the message, it seemed like some sort of communique issued through the heart to everyone around it.
Yeah, it was intense. And even beforehand, you know, like we had to like, we just like put it up in the air and all the sea spawn just kind of bowed to it. It was amazing.
Yeah, Nomi's staring at it, he's like, "Yeah, amazing. Great power emanating from this artifact. Requires further study." And Patrick is looking at it too, and he says, "It definitely contains some sort of arcane power that we may be able to harness. That's our hope in whatever fight lies ahead."
Yeah, maybe we could like weird science something, you know, like add some little electronic bits and make some kind of, I don't know, you're the expert.
Some sort of device here, yeah, it's not yeah. a bad idea. Oh, no, he's flipping through some like engineering books now. He's like, "Weird science is my favorite kind of science." you know, you're kind of like looking over their shoulder, and there's like stacks of paper everywhere. And you notice that there is a rat sitting on a stack of paper holding a little note in its mouth, holding it up to you.
Is that Pip?
You take the note, and it says, written on it,
"Hey, how's it going? Meet me at the thermal vent behind the Three Fingers Inn."
Whoa.
Hi, this is your DM, Matt. Thanks to Kickstarter backer Jimmy Chan for naming Jim Jim, to Brian Chung for naming Sir Throbberdon, to Lamont DuPont for naming Ellen, and Alan Sweeney for naming Lamont DuPont. As always, big thanks to season sponsor Russell Bloomdale, thanks to Sam Antonioli and Major Scales for original music, and thanks to Gilda Wabbit for the Kraken song. Thanks to Chad Sell for podcast art, and thanks to James for voicing some of the characters and making the show alongside me. The episode contains the tracks Back Bay Lounge, Light Awash, Ultra Lounge, and Severe Tire Damage by Kevin McLeod of Comptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Thanks to the Queens, Butalino Kipple, Arson Nikki, and Freya Love. You can find them all online. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a review. That is super duper helpful. Kickstarter and Patreon backers, you get bonus episodes and playable content. Head over to patreon.com/queensofadventure to support the show and get access to even more stuff. You can chat with us between episodes on Twitter and on Discord. We love hearing from you. You can find links to all of those at queensofadventure.com. And until next time, sissy that roll.